May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love a constant flame. 132.
Thank you. reading out of God's most holy word for this morning hour you can find in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it is come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May add his blessing and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, sovereign, holy and ever-blessed God of heaven and earth, O thou who art eternally glorious, a majestic God riding upon the heavens, and doeth according unto thine own holy and sovereign will, thou who art all-wise and with whom nothing is impossible, and thou, Lord, seest us this morning hour gathered together as poor sinners, and thou knowest the very thoughts and intents of our hearts, and thou knowest everything that shall come to pass in our lives. Oh, yet, Lord, thou art a loving God, a gracious God, a long-suffering God, tender and compassionate. And, Lord, what are we but poor sinners? Oh, Lord, we feel our wretchedness and poverty and emptiness and self. And Lord, we do come to the throne of grace, the place where thou hast called thy people to pray, to pour out our complaints, our sorrows, our needs, our wants, and our praises unto thee who art worthy. And that thou, Lord, this day may condescend into our midst to bless our souls with that word of life. That thou would grant unto us a peace in our hearts, and a revelation of thy ever-blessed and beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is the joy of thy people. Grant, O Lord, this day to discover within ourselves what we are, what we have done unto thee, and how we have not followed thy commandments. And yet grant unto us, O Lord, a sight of Jesus Christ by living faith, the answer to a troubled heart, a needy soul, the answer unto those who feel that poverty itself and the emptiness of this world, in the riches of Jesus Christ, who alone can save them from their sins. Oh, that thou would bless the poor sinners, that they may have hearts broken, and that they may have knees that are bent, and hands folded in prayer unto thee, behold, he prayeth. Grant that urgent necessity in the midst of this people, that their hearts may be touched, and they may be given that real religion, and that they may be prepared for that solemn day of judgment, when thou shalt come upon the clouds of heaven and give that solemn judgment unto all mankind. Lord, do be pleased to remember Zion, that thou may speak a word this day of comfort, a word of peace, a cheering ray of light from thy own precious lips, that we may feel the kisses of our Savior, and that we may rejoice, O Lord Jesus Christ, in that precious work of thine. That thou may be pleased even this day to wash our sins away. Oh, that robe of righteousness, that we may be adorned thereby. And that thou, Lord, may be glorified in that matchless work of thine, whereby we fall at thy feet to worship. And lay, Lord, that crown of glory at thy feet for thy work, for thy mercy, and for thy loving kindness to poor sinners. Oh, that thou would bind thy church together in that unity of peace, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that thou would grant that true, unfeigned humility, that they each one may become the least of all saints, and that there may be those true prayers for one another and the concerns of the congregation. Oh, Lord, that thou would give that real Christian love, and that they may rejoice with those who have seen the blessed Savior, and that they may sorrow with those who are deep in troubles and anxieties, and that thou may be pleased to add unto thy kingdom from the midst of this people, that it might be said of this people, much people have I in this city, them I must bring in. O Lord, make haste in this day, this dark and trying time. Oh, when so many turn from thy word, and when there's so little desire for the word of God. Oh, that thy power may be made known, and that thou would stretch forth thy arm. Thou art the same Almighty God from the never begun eternity to the never ending eternity. Oh, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we may hear, Lord, of thy power and thy mercy made known in this earth. And that, as in the days of old, where multitudes were drawn unto Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe that thou art able. Oh, we believe, Lord, that these things are possible according unto thy will and thy power. And in thy mercy that thou would make them known yet now. Oh, in wrath do remember mercy, Lord, and do condescend to dwell amongst the poor worms of this earth. To bless our souls that we may be comforted, that we may be lifted up for a moment and cheered with the glorious news of the gospel. Lord, remember the families that gather, the young children, all that thou would spare them from an untimely death, that thou might be pleased to touch their hearts. Oh, Lord, by thy power dwell within and show them the emptiness of this world and a precious Jesus. And the young adults, Lord, that thou would keep them from the snares of this world. How soon we are distracted by the din of this world, by its pleasures and amusements, and by the subtlety of Satan whereby he turns our feet aside. But Lord, that thou would touch their hearts and give them a spirit of real prayer and a need to turn unto thee. That they be encouraged by the testimonies of those young ones who have lived a life in this world and by thy power have been drawn away. And they may learn to seek that precious is in Jesus Christ, which far surpasses all the pleasures of this world. That thou might remember in the scenes of this life, lawfully occupied. But we pray, great God, that thou would yet grant that we may not be encumbered and ensnared. Oh, grant, Lord, that we may yet seek that kingdom of God and thy righteousness. That we may seek that thing that is the blessing of our souls, even communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that we may be made wise unto salvation and mean not at the foolishness of the Gentiles. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For thy heavenly Father knoweth what need ye have. Ask, and I shall give it thee. Oh, grant that sacred life, Lord, in thee. And though we must run our businesses, take care of our homes, study at school or whatever we are lawfully occupied, grant, O Lord, that in the midst of all the scenes of life, may we look unto Jesus. Remember the elderly ones in the midst of this people and amongst our old friends at home. O gracious God, that they may have a heart that is prepared to cross Jordan's floods, that it may not be said of those that they have lived their life in vain, and have never known a precious Jesus Christ, that even aged and poor sinners may come hobbling unto the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the forgiveness of their sins. Oh, the precious words of one of old, that even to hoar heads have never seen the Lord who has forsaken the righteous, nor received begging bread. And thou would grant the needs in the bed of languishing. Oh, then remember the aged, Lord, according to thy favor and tender mercies. Remember each of thy servants as they labor in the vineyard. Our dear brethren in the ministry, the aged and the young, all together, Lord, that thou might bless them in the path that they go in, a path of darkness, a path of heavy trials, oh, a path of rejoicing in the revelations of their blessed Savior, that thou, Lord, might bless them and instruct them and strengthen them. And that the words that they speak are the message of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father's message to poor sinners. That thou would give them thy strength and thy blessings and a door of utterance that they may speak the praises of Jesus Christ, their Savior. O do give, set their faces as flint against the enemy and the despisers of the gospel, that they may fear no man's frown. Preach not according to a man's will, but thy will, to glorify thy ever precious name. O the glorious themes of that triune Godhead, the foundation of Jesus Christ our Savior, his blood, and glorious righteousness that is ours. That they may set man and abase him in the dust as a poor and a lost and a wretched sinner, and the need to be born again. And that thou may be pleased, O Lord, to send out more men according unto thy will. Men whose hearts thou hast touched and anointed with the oil of the Spirit and thy graces, that they may go forth into thy vineyard. O Lord, remember the country of this people, and that thou might bless them in authority. Lord, we pray in a dark day that thou by thy power may touch their hearts, and our country as well, how far we have sunk. Oh, how little the laws of this country and ours reflect thy holy word. But, oh Lord, thou art the same. To remember them and bless them and touch their hearts, for what a testimony such men would give of thy goodness and of thy worthiness. That it may be said of this people, blessed is that nation whose trust is in God. Lord, we pray for thy precious word and those who are occupied in translating it. We pray, we think of the Trinitarian Bible Society and all such organizations that send forth thy glorious word. Oh, be pleased, Lord, to break down every hindrance and every barrier, and to crown with success the efforts of those who attempt to bring it throughout this earth. To remember those translating and breathe thy spirit of wisdom upon them, that it may remain faithful unto thy original word. That thy name may be glorified, and Jesus Christ our Savior may be known amongst a people who have never heard of thy blessed name. Lord, we would thank thee at this time with thanksgiving offerings for thy great mercies and tender kindnesses unto a poor, sinful people. Great is thy faithfulness, great, Lord, are thy blessings, and they are renewed every morning. We would humbly fall before thee, Lord, to acknowledge thee for thy great and tender kindness. We thank thee, Lord, that there is a Lord's Day, a day of rest, and a house of prayer. Oh, we thank thee for the throne of grace and him who sitteth on the mercy seat. Oh, the glorious truths of Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Oh, we thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for thy sovereign authority and power, and thy love made known upon this earth. We thank thee that thou hast sent Jesus Christ upon this earth, that he delighted to do thy will. Oh, that he went into upon this earth and humbled himself and became in the fashion of a man. Oh, the glorious truth of Jesus Christ as our example, his precious cross, his sufferings, the shedding of his blood, the death of our dear Savior, taking the sins of the church into the sepulchre, his resurrection power. Oh, what thankful themes. And how we beg even now this day, Lord, that thou would apply these themes unto our souls, that our hearts truly may be touched and we humbled in the dust, and our Lord and Savior made known unto our souls, that we may go different out of these doors of this house of prayer than we came in. That we may bless him for his matchless mercy unto one so unworthy. Come, thou blessed Spirit, even now we pray. And come and fulfill thy promise. I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Grant in speaking and in hearing together, that we may see yon lovely man, our precious Savior. All these things we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn number 92.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's help again for this morning hour, we draw your prayerful attention to the chapter that we have read, John 14, in the first verse. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And we speak of this in 3 points, if the Lord may enable me to open up this precious word. First, of a troubled heart, then of a troubled heart that was comforted, then of a place prepared for a comforted heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is preparing his disciples for his departure. The Lord Jesus Christ is showing unto his disciples that they must learn to walk by humble faith, that he will not be in their presence, that they will be faced with countless troubles, anxieties, perplexities, countless sorrows, griefs, questions, of which they know not how to proceed in. Nonetheless, not regarding the state of their lives and the circumstances in which Almighty God has been pleased to put them in through his infinite wisdom, yet in it they are exhorted that they ought not to be troubled, and that there are countless examples in the Word of God where he has given those most exceeding precious promises of a fear not, of a being not troubled, and the precious and blessed reasons that they ought not to be troubled. But I want you to step back a moment, beloved friends, and to speak of the necessity of troubles and the rich purpose in the troubles in the lives of the elect church of God, that they have a singular purpose and that they ought and that they must be sanctified within us in order for them to be blessed. It is obvious as we look around us in a cursed earth, and the effects of the curse when we departed from our God in creation. If we read the history in the Word of God, we can see the effects, the terrible, awful effects of sin. We can see it in our own country, in your country. We have to be blind fools, beloved friends, if we are not aware of what has happened because of our departure from our God. And that it might alarm us, and that it might bring us into that deep necessity to seek that one thing needful. That your hearts and mine may be prepared for that solemn day of judgment. That we may see the aged ones around us and to know that we have been born upon this earth. And that there's only one thing that's certain in this earth. We would say there's two things that were certain in earth. The first is that we shall have trouble, and then that we shall die. But what does the troubles in your life and mine do to us? Have these troubles exercised our minds? And have these troubles, dear friends, brought us to examine the state that we live in? Have the troubles that have entered in our lives, the circumstances in which we have been so deeply tried, have they begun to make you question what you are doing and what you are busy with? Have the troubles and anxieties of life made you, beloved friends, for the first time or by renewal, look up and call upon him who is almighty and yet ever so gracious to assist in these troubles? Remember that it is a softened heart that alone shall produce those gracious effects, those spiritual effects, those uplifted pleas to God for his mercy. God will have his people to inquire. God will have his people to vehemently come before the throne of grace. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It is a troubled people we're speaking of. A troubled people who have been turned away from all the former pleasures and pursuits, their former ambitions and desires, to see that there is but one thing needful. I come from a community which prides itself in hard work. And many times I hear that comment that has said we must do everything to our utmost, and what we put our hand to, does not the Word of God say that we must do these things because God has given us the wisdom and ability, and therefore we are to pursue these things with the greatest of ambition? Oh, beloved friends, that you may put the same exertions and efforts into seeking the kingdom of heaven. And that in the troubles of life, that you may not put double effort into getting yourself out of that trouble, out of your own strength, but rather lift and cry to heaven, O God, undertake for my poor soul. If the Lord will take us and sustain us in each perplexity, in each utmost difficulty that we are walking in each assault of Satan against us, in each trial when the enemy or enemies come against us and we know not whither to turn, that these troubles, beloved friends, make us look up. It is a grand theme, beloved friends, in the life of the living church, of people whose hearts have been touched because it becomes a heart trouble. It becomes where our soul is sorely touched by a trouble and we know not how to extract ourselves from it. How different a trouble becomes. How exceedingly different it becomes, dear friends, whether it's a providential trouble or it is that trouble that enters within. When not only the conscience is touched, but God's hand is upon it. And the Spirit of God inclines us that we may turn to the living way. And it may be by the first time this truth of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that we begin to seek him because of our troubles. How blessed is that station. I say it to my friends at home, and it is a solemn thing, and we ought to be careful when we say it. But that we may be brought in these troublous times that are sanctified times. A troublous time, beloved friends, wherein we may seek the Lord Jesus Christ that we have read of. Him who assists in trouble, sustains under troubles. Thy eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are his everlasting arms. And when his poor people in those troublous times sink and sink and sink, they will come to experience that the gracious God of their soul is there to sustain them. They learn to live a life of trust. And they learn to live a life of prayer. That's heart religion. That's true religion, beloved friends, of a people in whom the Holy Spirit has entered and begin to teach those precious truths too. It is what Jesus said to his disciples. And if we took this chapter, we take the preceding verses of this chapter, then we find in the disciples the expectation of the living church. We find the prophecy, the foretelling of Peter's great fall. Peter, who in his own strength, Peter, who in his own estimation was a worthy disciple, the chiefest of disciples, the close of the three friends. And yet Peter is taught that there will be great and troublous times. There will be deep anguish in his soul for what he has done to his Jesus. We have Thomas, doubting Thomas. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of them of his departure, and the Lord is telling him that he shall go, and where he goes, the Jews could not come, neither could you come, not yet. Lord, I do not understand what you're saying. A troublous time, dear friends, as we find in ourselves that we are but poor and fickle creatures, we find as the Lord opens up the truth of our understanding and our mind more and more that we know so little. Let me rephrase that. We know nothing of the ways of grace, and they must all be taught unto us by the heavenly teacher. And by the glorious truth that he has promised that though he ascends into heaven, he shall not leave his people comfortless in their troubles. I will send thee the Comforter. and how the Lord's living church will learn to cry unto this glorious third person of the Holy Trinity to guide them and lead them, though they are ever so foolish, and that they may be made wise unto salvation, and in the midst of every trouble and every anxiety, that they may be turned to Jesus Christ, the living way, to find their life in Him, their comfort by Him, in Him, and through Him. And you know what it is, beloved friends, to echo the thoughts of that dear one of old that said, Jesus Christ, who is my all and in all. We have Philip. Oh, the glorious truth of the Holy Trinity. And I do not profess, beloved friends, to be one that knows all these things. Those beautiful truths of the unity of the Trinity. My Father and I are one. And that all the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke upon earth were the words of His Heavenly Father as He made His salvation known unto a poor fallen men, women, and children. Everything that Jesus spoke was the will of His Father made known upon this earth. And poor Philip had said, show us the Father. And again he had to be rebuked. Knowest thou not the Father is in I, that I am in the Father, we are one. With so many troubles, beloved friends, it may be a providential trouble. It may be that there is the turning over of our lives. It may be, beloved friends, that we may enter into scenes of life wherein it becomes so different. We had lived a life of security. We had lived a life of ease. We had a pathway in which there was no thorns in our way, no hedges, there was no perplexities, and we went on our way blindly. It may be, beloved friends, that we had many pleasures and we had many plans, and we went for years following this pathway. It may be that we are brought into so many turmoils in life. It may be that now there are different scenes, different times, different ways. The Lord is overturning. Overturn, 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 we read in the Word of God. The Lord is plowing up the old heart. The Lord is plowing up and revealing unto us our old man of flesh. The Lord is bringing trouble after trouble after trouble to make us inquire if there is but a way of escape, if there is but a hope in the soul. That's the Lord's living way. I'll tell you, in the experiences of my life, two different troubles that I remember, and two different scenes in life that were very similar and yet so different. They were the two deaths in our community. One was a very good friend of mine. I was 19 years of age and he was 20. And he was killed in a sudden car accident. A great trouble. I was partly responsible for that. And yet, beloved friends, in the midst of that trouble, all it did was affect my conscience. All that trouble ever did in my heart was make me worry of the consequences of my actions. It was a trouble, dear friends, that was not sanctified. And over time, we forget. Over time, we consume ourselves in the world. We consume ourselves in the things that do not avail our soul. And we soon forget the warning that God has sent. An unsanctified trouble. A failure to lift up our eyes to heaven. And to cry unto our God of mercy that we may be the next. And blessed be God that He would not leave me in such a pathway. Oh, we come to praise, dear friends, the sovereign ways of God in His most perfect wisdom. That the Lord knows how to deal with His people. And the Lord will not leave us to utterly destroy ourselves if we are His people. The Lord sends more troubles. The Lord works deeper and deeper. And then the Lord sends His Spirit. The Lord convicts of soul of its sins. And that was the second trouble that I so clearly recall. A friend that was not an acquaintance, we would say, not even so close in my life, abruptly taken out of this world. And I, in the middle of all my sins, and engaging, dear friends, as if I should live forever. But the gracious Lord touched my heart with that death and brought in the arrow of conviction, thou art the man. See that just and holy God as He is. Oh, what trouble then, beloved friends, that is. When the Lord for the first time opens up our eyes to see the just and holy God whom we have to deal with. It becomes a heart trouble. It becomes, beloved friends, a time and season in life that can never be erased because the hand of God is working. It becomes a sanctified trouble. It becomes that way, beloved friends, when we begin to seek peace with God and know not how to find it. It becomes that season in life, beloved friends, when a trouble truly becomes sanctified and we begin to pray. We are like the Apostle Paul. Behold, he prayeth. Are you a praying people in midst of troubles? We are exhorted to examine ourselves whether ye be in the faith. Do we examine ourselves, beloved friends, concerning this matter? Do we have enough strength in self to carry on in troubles? And then a little more time and a little more work and a little more effort that we'll soon be over them and times will improve? Our precious word that we have this morning for our consideration is a precious exhortation, a precious word of advice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. In all the afflictions of life, in all the anxieties, pour out your heart unto me. Believe in God and believe also in me. And here, beloved friends, we move on of a prepared people. A heart that is comforted. To believe in God is good. But remember this. The devils believe in God and tremble. James 2 verse 19. You believe that there is one God. That is good. But the devils also believe and tremble. We need, beloved friends, to have a salvation that is united in the Holy Trinity. You believe in God, but you must also believe in me. We must have that implicit trust in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ to carry us through the scenes of this life. When we sung that hymn, what a precious and beloved hymn that is, beloved friends. And I so often quote it at home. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Oh, the trouble after trouble after trouble. And this beloved bride, she has learned to confide wholly and solely upon the work of her beloved Savior. We so often hear that quoted, but they learn to live it. Give me Christ or I die. We have so many troubles, and if we look down, we will fall. If we look down, beloved friends, we will soon be overcome by these enemies. But the Lord's a living people. It is a language found throughout the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 107, quicken thou me, O Lord. Oh, there was such a trouble there, beloved friends, in that language of that Psalm 119. Of the troubles of the heart that were so perplexing and brought that soul in such anxiety that it not only left them in a place of lowness and a place of trials, but it brought them to cry up and high, Lord God, have mercy and remember me, for I cannot maintain my way. I can do nothing. I am afflicted very much. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according unto thy word. You see the effects in the Lord's living church. In these trials, when they are sanctified, when the Lord has touched the heart by his almighty power and sent a spirit within them, they begin to lift up, Lord, undertake for my soul. Oh, that the Lord might enter within me. The troubles are so great and so perplexing, and I know not how to deal with them. I have no wisdom. I have no strength to overcome them. I have no ability, nor know I how. Oh, the Lord brings his people down, dear friends, that they might exalt and glorify the loving kindness of Jesus Christ to enter into the hearts of one who remains but a poor, wretched sinner. And many times, as we'll come to see very shortly, our troubles are the result of our own folly. Our troubles are on account of our own wretchedness, our own perverseness, our own wickedness, our own blindness. And we see ourselves soon departing from that narrow way. And Jesus exhorts to look unto me, for I am the way. I am the only living way, the only source of health, the only source of peace and joy in your soul. And yet we soon are turning away to believe the lies of Satan. and follow and hanker after the pleasures and pursuits of the world. It brings us into great trouble, and it's a crying complaint of the Lord's living church. Again, friends, I was thinking of that word in 119, verse 143. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me. It's not a common cry. Oh, if we are expecting to enter into the Lord's living church, we would be a converted one, a man, a woman, or child who is called a Christian. Beloved friends, you must expect trials and troubles. In the world you shall have tribulation. The Lord is preparing his people that all through life I shall lead you through dark paths and trying paths and lonely paths. I shall lead you through perplexing paths. I shall bring you into sickness. I shall bring you into dejection. But nonetheless, through all these trials of life, I will never leave thee. What a sacred word we find in Hebrews 13. The Lord is my helper, so that I may boldly say, I will not fear what man will do unto me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, he becomes the precious helper in the time of trouble. I was thinking of that beautiful word in Psalm 27. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, Lord, bring thou me out of all my distresses. What a ever precious word that is in that Psalm, Psalm 27. 25 of some sorry. It brings forth, beloved friends, the truth of one who is in the midst of troubles. But he looked up. Oh, child of God, today in your perplexities, are you looking up? Is the cry of the heart unto Jesus alone? Lord, undertake for me, I'm oppressed. The Lord brings us down, dear friends. The Lord brings us down to empty us of all of self. It is a constant lesson in life that he teaches us, that we ought to and are exhorted only to look unto him, our blessed Savior, looking unto Jesus. And again, we think back that wherefore we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notwithstanding, it's a marathon race, beloved friends. It is not a sprint of 100 yards, but it is that marathon race all our life long through, from the moment that the Lord draws us out of the wilderness, out of the world, and into that wilderness journey. And from that very moment to the very last gasping breath, the Lord will bring us to be in a race. And we are exhorted all through that race that with patience we are to look unto him, looking unto Jesus, the author, that is, who first granted unto us that faith to look unto him, who first exercised us with the need that without him I can do nothing. Tell me, friends, have we been brought into the reality of that truth? Without me you can do nothing. Except the branch be united to the vine, ye shall produce no fruit. And how we do, for the Lord exhorts us that we must produce much fruit. And that the great husbandman shall cut off of that fruit tree all that is of ourselves. He will bring us into every trial and every trouble to give us spiritual desire, a spiritual concern, a spiritual cry unto God that he might undertake and bless my soul and enable me. Not always to take the trouble away. Not always, dear friends, that he might cure us of our sickness. Not always that he would take the enemy away. But to sustain under the trouble. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It is, beloved friends, to exalt again that gospel of Jesus Christ, him who is with me in all my troubles. That exercise, child of God, dear friends, in these troubles, he begins now to rest holy, like we sung with that hymn. That's a living experience of the one who is in that wilderness. Who is this that cometh forth out of the wilderness? Why, she is one that has been through all the scenes of the Israelites in their wilderness journey. She has murmured at the bitter waters of Marah. Oh, she has been bitten by the serpents. Oh, she has been dissatisfied with the provisions of God. Oh, she has rebelled against her great God. And notwithstanding all her faults, and notwithstanding all her imperfections, and notwithstanding all her troubles, in each of those scenes we find that the Lord appears on her behalf, that he might be glorified, that he might be exalted in her life, and that she might be a testimony what a precious and beloved Savior she has found. I wanted to turn to several examples in the Word of God to show, beloved friends, that there is a rich purpose in the troubles of a certain people, and to show in the examples of these the examples that we have in the Word of God how we are exhorted to continually be in prayer. I've said that to you already, and I would say it again. Oh, the Lord makes His people a praying people, a people who pray from the heart. The cries of the Lord's people in their troubles and in their spiritual anxieties are real and urgent and true. Oh, there is such a necessity born in it that the Lord may guide them and direct them through each one of them. And I turn first to Daniel. And when we think of Daniel, I keep thinking of that word. And when Daniel was in prayer, Daniel was greatly concerned about the time of the captivity of Jerusalem. And he was there there upon his knees praying unto the Lord. And if we turn back, we again, dear friends, find him. If it is said of Daniel, if a fault can ever be found of Daniel, we must find it in his life with his God. And here we find him as the vehement prayer. We find him petitioning his God. And here, friends, we find the truth of the living church of God as the Lord impresses upon them that they are wretched sinners. And we look at Daniel and we say, if Daniel's fault was in his religion and that Daniel was a good man, what do we hear in the confessions of Daniel in his prayers? He comes, while I was in prayer, confessing not Israel's sins. Yes, he prayed for them. But I was confessing my sins. Oh, Daniel felt in his heart what he was as a poor and a wretched sinner. And there he was at the throne of grace to confess before the living God my troubles, my sins, my perplexities, my anxieties, my foolishness, that I might receive of God the revelation from the Most High and All-Wise God concerning the things that I desire to know. Ask of God and you shall receive it. Are we asking people, beloved friends, in our troubles? Are we continually at the throne of grace, day and night in our anxiety? The Lord's people do pray day and night, beloved friends, in those deep, urgent anxieties. It is pressed, as it were, out of the soul that the Lord might help them. Oh, that trouble is so deep that none can help. There is none that understands. There is none that knows my perplexity, cries that child of God. But one in heaven knows all things. We were saying at Mr. and Mrs. Curley's place, the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. And this sacred fact is implied upon our heart. It is God in heaven and the glorious truth of Jesus Christ who has risen to heaven that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I ask or think. And shall I then not turn unto him to pour unto him all the necessities of my life? It is utter and abject foolishness, beloved friends, if we do not turn to this living way and pour out our troubles to him. And Daniel did such a thing. And whilst I was in prayer, confessing my sins and the sins of my people, and whilst I was there unto the Lord, pleading with him for his mercy, that God might show me his way, that God might reveal unto me his truths concerning us, the angel was sent to strengthen him. The blessing of the Lord, beloved friends, of a one who outwardly would say was not in trouble, but he had soul trouble. He had questions and anxieties, and he went to the throne of grace. That it might exhort the child of God, that it may exhort every one of us, dear friends, that we may become of this people who do not trust no longer in self. The strength of our hands, a living church, beloved friends, is when they're clasped together. That's the strength of a living church. Lord, help me. It is in thy strength I trust. It is in thy wisdom that I would go. Oh, guide thee by thy light. Let thy light guide me and lead me in thy path. That's the strength of the living church. And they pray and plead that the Lord might help them and undertake for them. Put no confidence in the Son of Man. Put not thy trust in princes, or vain is the help of man. It was what the Lord was so deeply tried and provoked to anger by the conduct of Israel, that they should go to Egypt and trust in the confidence of Egypt and of Pharaoh and of his multitude of horses, as if that would deliver them. I've given thee Egypt as a ransom to Assyria. And foolish Israel trusted in that. And we know what it is. The Lord's living church knows what it is. That in trouble they had failed to look unto him. But the Lord brought all those gourds to nothing. He blasted them to nothing into bits. That they might be fruitless. Why? That we may learn to continually look up. And find our strength only in our blessed Jesus. It, beloved friends, was the great, great condemnation of the Pharisees. For they believed in God as well. But they spurned Jesus. They had all manner of contemptuous names to call him. And so they spurned this Lord Jesus Christ for what he was. They did not see that beauty, that value in the glorious Redeemer who came from heaven. And they so mocked Jesus Christ as he showed forth his power, his wisdom, his ability to heal. Oh, how he's confounded them, and yet they were not dismayed, but continually tried to destroy him. But the Lord's living people, oh, they begin to trust in him. I think of Job. What was, when we turn to Job, we know in the beginning of Job 1, we read there that he was a good and upright man, a perfect man, a man who feared God and eschewed evil. Was Job then exempt from trouble? Was Job's conduct then the reason that the Lord sent trouble? No, friends. It was to glorify his mercy, to show that he was in control of all things, that Satan could harass him and take all the things of earth away, and that Job could be brought into deep anguish of soul. But it was to magnify the mercy of God, and that his hand was over him. There was that protection around Job. Only touch not his soul, his life. Take not his life. And here we see the deep lessons and the deep trials, the deep lessons that Job learned, and the deep trials that Job underwent, and that though his three friends so mistook the reason that he might say, what did Job say at the end of all his troubles? What was the confession of Job again as the Lord appeared to him? Behold, I am vile. Behold, I am vile. Put my hand upon my mouth. Yea, once I have spoken, yea, twice have I spoken. I will now say no more. Thou, O God, art right and just in all thy doings. Here's the gracious effect, beloved friends, of the troubles and anxieties in the life of Job. And then I want to turn to Jonah, a man also in deep trouble, a child of God. Self-invoked troubles, troubles in which he put himself in through his rebellion and through his obstinacy, through his unwillingness to obey his Lord. We read it in our precious word that we have for us this morning, beloved friends, that there is that exhortation of Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the Lord had given a commandment unto Jonah to follow him and to walk in his ways and to obey him. And yet we find him obstinately refusing to obey his Lord and Master in his command to go to Nineveh. And to preach to that great city the preaching of repentance. And we find that Jonah, dear friends, as he's fleeing to Tarshish, from Tarshish, and he's fleeing away from the presence of the Lord, that the Lord brings in his storms. We can run no further than the Lord will allow us. Hitherto and no further. Arise, thou sleeper, for we all perish. Call upon thy God. And there in that fish, as he's cast out, we read him. Out of the belly of hell I cried unto thee, O Lord. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Oh, Jonah was brought ever so low. And Jonah was brought to confess his unworthiness. And that though he had brought himself in his troubles, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I will yet call upon thy name. I will cry unto thee for the restoration of my soul. For the visits of thee, Lord, to return unto me. All we like sheep have gone astray, said one of old. Oh, we know what it is to be like sheep. We know what it is to be like Jonah. We know what it is, beloved friends, to be in troubles, self-imposed troubles, so to speak. But blessed be God that he will yet in them, and notwithstanding our weakness and notwithstanding our foolishnesses, he will yet come to teach us in these troubles to look to him. Oh, friends, what is Jesus to you in your troubles? We said that the Jews refused to acknowledge him, but the Lord's people They have learned to embrace the truth of Christ. And as one speaks of Jesus Christ, and as the Word of God declares the truth of Jesus Christ, oh, they pray unto the Lord that in the deep depths of their troubles and anguishes, that Jesus by the eye of faith may be shown again. That becomes the desire of our souls, is it not, child of God? Oh, the loneliness that is brought in the heart when Jesus is so long apart from us. When we are in this wilderness and when we wander as pilgrims and strangers, and our sole desire is to be of that prepared place, that we might come to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then to be plunged into these great trials and troubles. How anxious the heart becomes. What great perplexities enter in. What solemn questionings enter within. What searchings of the mind and searching of our experiences, whether or no we love Him. Do I love Him? Do I not? Is He mine or is He not? Do I love the Savior? No. Is He mine or is He not? Oh, that solemn searching of the soul comes in the life of His people in their troubles. And they want to hear the Lord Jesus speaking again. Lord, say unto my soul, Thou art my salvation. Lord, appear in my soul with that balm that will heal all my wounds. And Lord, shine with me that ray of light that Thou art, that I might see my path clearly and know that Thou art mine. And that great desire of the soul is that the glorious high priest in heaven might reveal again the precious truths of His cross, the precious truths of His death, the precious truths of His love, the precious truths of that communion in Jesus Christ, and those precious truths of His resurrection power, the precious truths of a risen Savior who prays for us, the precious truths of Jesus Christ, who is my advocate in heaven. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And here, beloved friends, the living church of God, though they are perplexed, though they are tried, though they are so greatly concerned about the state of the soul, the Lord says, let your heart not be troubled, for believe in God and in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am ye may be with me. Oh, to find that, dear friends, the presence of Christ to dwell here in my soul, and then to feel that constraining power of love, the love that surpasses all things of earth, the love that only the child of God knows when he has witnessed this truth in our hearts. The love that takes all those troubles and makes them light. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Take it and bear it. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give thee rest. So we see, beloved friends, the desire of that living church, that one that leans upon her beloved, is this. That she comes to the throne of grace to say, oh, blessed Spirit, oh, most gracious and holy Spirit, that is so pleased to dwell in this poor heart of mine, wilt thou not show me again that precious Savior that I've come to know and love? Wilt thou not reveal those precious truths of Jesus Christ, that my heart might be comforted, and that I might be knit unto my dear Savior, He who has become my glorious husband, He who has espoused me to Himself, and He who has blessed my soul with that Song of Solomon, those precious truths. He who is this that cometh over the mountain? Behold, my beloved cometh, leaping over the mountains and skipping over the hills. It is a voice of my beloved. Behold, he spake unto me. And what did Jesus speak to his beloved? As he leapt over those mountains, he made all my troubles depart. He made all my difficulties seem easy things. He made all my perplexities go away. And he took them upon his gracious shoulders. And he said, my beloved, my undefiled, my love, rise up and come away. For the winter is past, and the rains are gone, and the voice of the birds is heard singing in the land. Oh, that springtime of the appearance of this blessed Jesus Christ, that I can bear in my troubles, for Jesus is near. It is a voice of my beloved Savior, Him whom my soul loves, Him who brought me to His banqueting house, Him who set His banner of love over me and drew me, notwithstanding all my wretchedness and all my weakness and all my worthlessness. Yet he drew this poor sinner to himself and declared his love, I have loved thee. And when I said, beloved friends, before, that he shows unto us his cross, when we have the deep trouble of the anxiousness of our soul, when we have all those sins that are within us that perplex us and try us and trouble us, when we have the onslaughts of Satan that come, as it were, to destroy our soul, that we may have by living faith the sight of Jesus and his glorious work on Calvary, and that we may see, dear friends, my sins laid there upon him. Again, when we think of Gethsemane, when he laid upon him the sins of the elect church and groaned and travailed there, beloved friends, all through the life of Christ, we find in him the glorious example wherein in his troubles, beloved friends, in his affliction, wherein he was afflicted, it is there that we find the comfort of our souls. It is in those trials and troubles of Jesus Christ that we may come to him and confide in him, because he understands our perplexities and knows of our troubles, for he was so assaulted by Satan likewise. That we might see then, dear friends, what a glorious truth lies in this dear Savior, and that we might come to him alone and plead continually, that we might find something of Christ's power made known in our hearts in the midst of our troubles. Let not your heart be comforted. Are you in troubles? Oh, come to him in the depths of those troubles to call upon his name, for he will not leave thee. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them. And in his love and his pity, he will sustain them under that heavy trial and trouble. We may think, we may esteem in our own estimations, the Lord hath forgotten me. The Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord will no longer come. And the Lord says in Isaiah, can the Lord forget? Yea, she may forget the mother. Yet I will never forget thee. I have engraven thee on the palms of my hands. And so we see, dear friend, in that great work of Christ upon earth, we come to praise him. She leans on him, for she sees such a worthiness in him. She loves him and esteems him, because in all her troubles, in the depths of every trial, Jesus came to sustain her, and he made her aware of it. He did not leave her alone. He laid his arm upon her. He drew her, as it were, into his bosom and says, I have loved thee. Wherefore didst thou doubt, O thou of little faith? Could I ever leave thee? Would I ever leave thee? Can I leave thee? No, I cannot leave thee, for thou art my eternal delight. I have spoken to you. And can I then, as the eternal Son of God, ever forsake thee? Can I ever depart from thee? Oh, his love is so firm and sure that though he may teach her that there is nothing in her, he will yet in her despondency and trouble show, I am forever with thee. He will glorify himself in the comfort that he shows in her soul, that he is able to comfort her in all her trials, in all her troubles, in all her afflictions. I was thinking of that word this morning. When we think, dear friends, in a trouble, oh, we hope. Oh, we do hope that the Lord will appear. And what does the word, I was thinking of that word in Hebrews 6. God willing to show the immutability of his oath and to confirm it by an oath in himself, that we might have strong consolation in the midst of every trial and trouble. God hath promised to send his Son Jesus Christ, and we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge unto the hope that is set before us. Oh, that Jesus is the cry of the troubled soul, that I might be delivered from it, that I might be comforted in it, that I might see thy lovely face again, that my heart may be stirred and warmed up, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus Christ, and after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, what a firm hope, beloved friends. He lives, he lives, he ever lives in the high courts of heaven. He has arisen up as the ascended Savior, the victorious Savior, the conquering Savior, and the consoling Savior, that we might have strong consolation in every trial and trouble of life, that we may continually come, not just once and not twice, but day after day, and trouble after trouble, that we might have a hope set within us, a lively hope, a sure hope, a firm hope, a solid standing hope in the foundation truths of Jesus Christ, my Savior, for he is alive. We not only may believe in a living God, an almighty God, an all-wise God, but we may believe in the living Jesus Christ who ever lives in the high courts of heaven even today as that high priest, who takes our petitions, who hears our petitions, who encourages us to come with our petitions, child of God, and that he will most certainly answer the desires of that soul as it thus comes to him in his anxieties. Blessed be our Lord for those tremendous, gracious, and precious truths that he has provided in his word of God as we have spoken again this day. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And now, dear friends, is it a life? Is it a life alone upon this earth? Is it a life in which we trust in a God, in which we hope in a God at the end of earth is over? No, he had said, this is but the beginning. Time is so short. Life is so short, and soon it is over. And we fly away to our eternal home, our eternal destination. And where will it be for you and I, beloved friends? Where will it be for you and I? Do we have a real religion? Are we exercising our souls about the reality of this dear Jesus Christ to enter within us with his power and make himself known unto us as poor sinners, that there may be that place in heaven prepared for me? You know, friends, if there ever is a silent cry that so often brings anxiety, as we are so often tempted by our sins and our weakness, it is, shall I, O Lord, be found amongst those favored few? Oh, will my soul be there to cast its crown at the feet of Jesus Christ? Will I be there to have that blessed place where Jesus is promised? And dear friends, in that time when faith is low, we so begin to tremble. Oh, we see there's so much poverty in self. There's so much unworthiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that is a place, beloved friends, that is a place of eternal holiness, of all holiness and only holiness. There is nothing that defileth that shall enter therein. No fornicator, deceiver, liar, murderer, envier, none of these shall find their place in heaven. But that people who are made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ and adorned in his glorious robe of righteousness, they will find their place there. And I go to prepare, if the Lord has begun, and again we turn again to what I began in that second point beginning there, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Has he begun with you, friends? Has he begun and planted that living faith within you? Has he turned you with that needy soul to Jesus Christ? And has he revealed the beloved truth of the precious Savior? Do we know what it is to truly be forgiven our sins and receive that remission? God hath reconciled us while we were yet enemies unto himself by his Son, Jesus Christ, and slain the enmity by that cross. Do we know what that means? That people who have tasted of his loving kindness, who have wept with joy because they have been saved from their sins, who have tasted of the communion of Jesus Christ, as he said, I have washed your sins away, who spoke unto them, live, yea, live, though they were polluted in their blood, who draped his skirt as it was over them, and encompassed him in his precious love, that people who have tasted help of him in all the times of trouble, who have heard his voice with power that no man could take it from them. It is a voice of my beloved, all who have felt in the heart the constraining power of God as his love moves them and exercises in them. That people, beloved friends, notwithstanding all their faults and all their emptiness and all their poverty, shall be there in that place of eternal bliss. I go to prepare a place. And these are the words of the same Savior who said, I am thy salvation. It is the same words of the Savior who said, though you are sinners, I came to call these sinners to repentance. Though they were rejected, all that glorious picture of that poor woman who sat there and wept behind Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair because she was forgiven her sins by the glorious Master shall be found in that place of heaven. Unworthy as ye may be in the consideration of all other mankind, friends, it does not matter what others think of us. It is what Jesus thinks of you and what he has done for you and whom he has loved and whom he has taught those sacred truths of salvation to. Them, he says, come into the place prepared for you, my soul. Come to the place that is prepared, my love, my undefiled, my precious bride. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and I can never forsake thee, nor will I forsake thee. And though, dear friends, we may be, even at this moment, in the greatest of darkness, and heavy burdens and deep trials, and anxieties that so perplex our souls, that we may begin to wonder, was it ever right with my soul? Once Jesus has spoken into the heart of his living church, he cannot nor will he. Oh, it is delight. That is such a blessed and precious truth. As he thus speaks there, that Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend and child of God who know something of Jesus Christ and his blessed truth, you notwithstanding all your confessions of your unworthiness, are the joy of Christ's heart. And he will bring those who are his joy and whom he has wrought that great salvation that they might be with him in heaven. You know, I was speaking at home a little while ago, someone who was a Jehovah Witness. And they believe that there's 144,000 that will go to heaven. And that the rest will be on earth. And he said this most perplexing and astonishing statement, that he had no desire to go to heaven. He had no desire to go to heaven. How perplexing. Is it not the longing of the soul? Is it not the longing of the soul that I might be forever in the communion of Jesus? Is it not, beloved friends, the eternal delight of the soul that I might cast my crown at his feet and crown him Lord of lords and King of kings? Is it not, beloved friends, that heaven cannot be heaven except I may all through eternity glorify his name, that I might praise him for his matchless worth, that I might sing those praises to him that he has drawn the chiefest of sinners and enabled a poor wretched worm of this earth to be called a holy child of God? Shall that not be the eternal desire, the longing of the soul, thus to bless Jesus for his matchless birth? I believe it is for every child, that I might be there. And that my only purpose is to bless and praise the triune Godhead for that way of salvation that was made known unto my soul. Blessed be God, that there are such precious themes in the word of God that we may speak of. And now, dear friends, may the Lord grant unto you and I that we truly may know something of this chapter, notwithstanding every fault, every failure, every weakness in ourselves, yet we may turn to him who has promised to deliver us from our troubles, to be comforted in our troubles, and to give us the earnest prayer and to answer that prayer, and to reveal in our hearts the living truths of a precious Savior, that in the midst of these things we may trust in him, that we may become an experienced one who doesn't rise up. The Lord's people don't rise up and elevate in this progressive holiness. No, dear friends, the Lord's true taught people who are taught deeper and deeper the truths of religion and real religion, they go lower and lower and lower. But their estimation of this dear Savior, that he has not forsaken them, their estimations of love unto Jesus Christ, that he's comforted in these troubles, oh, how they do praise him. It is the reason that they are leaning upon the beloved. May you, dear friends, be found leaning upon Jesus. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £760, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, and also will administer the Lord's Supper, but not take Sunday school. And the collections next Lord's Day are for famine relief in Africa. And there's an invitation here, if anyone would like to come and meet Mr. Decker personally, they are welcome to call at Bethany tomorrow evening, any time between 7 and 9 p.m. Let us close with hymn 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. 557.
Thank you. dear Lord, do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love all that thou hast seen amiss in our gathering together. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.